Yes, it's What's the Go, or a version of it. Haven't been around for a little while, but it's cricket season, and we wanted to talk a bit of cricket, because we often talk cricket, and why not subject some other people to it?
Mm.
Why not? Why do we just have to listen to our amazing takes and spicy thoughts?
That's close and good.
I don't think I could bat with that going on down there.
So we're going to do, probably just do a couple of episodes over the summer called The Wind and the Willows. Not that fruity story of the toad and the rest of those fuckers. This is The Wind and the Willows, because obviously willow is a bat and wind is the guff that comes out of our mouths when we're talking about the sport of cricket. So right now, I have Ben and Matt. Hello, fellas.
Hello.
G'day, Stu.
And now, obviously, we are mere days after what a lot of people probably think is an unlikely World Cup victory. What about you, fellas? Did you feel it unlikely?
Yes.
Very much so.
Very much so. I had very little confidence in.
So, from what point are we talking?
From the moment I messaged you all and said, "Right, so we're chasing, are we?"
Yeah, I never.
I don't necessarily mean on the night.
Oh, right. Game.
I mean, like in the tournament-wise, when.
I don't know. We're old, so I don't think I ever got worried that we won't get a, make the semis. It's always the goal, right, is to you get into the top four no matter what, and then it's just basically the team on the day. And we lost the first two games, but we did that. We've done that in the past, started terribly. In fact, a lot of teams seem to do that in the World Cups, is start terribly and then build momentum. But and then we got to play South Africa in the semi, so that's a gimme.
That's always a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah. I was the same as Wigo. Like, I had no, I just thought our middle order wasn't good and that we weren't going to, be able to, especially as Wigo said, as soon as they said that we were fielding first, and certainly when they were one for 80.
Yeah, that first 10 overs.
It was like, okay, this could be a long afternoon.
Yes. My kind of thought was that, I've had higher faith going into a series or a tournament than I had going into this one. But I guess the flip side of that is I didn't particularly have faith in anyone else.
No.
Form-wise, or apart from India, who we all just assumed was a shoo-in to get to the final. I didn't have any, Saffers, really.
No.
Kiwis, maybe, but
the wonderful thing about the Saffers too, if we can just touch on them for a moment, was that some of the form that they showed leading in and after we'd sort of touched them up in South Africa in the first couple of games, and then they walloped us later, and then they started off really well and then got beaten by
the Dutch.
Was it the Dutch? The plucky Dutch.
The plucky Dutch.
And which really just set their fate, I think, from there. Like, if you're going to lose to the Dutch, then I'm not really sure where you're going to go in the tournament.
Yeah.
But I had a feeling, and again, it's anyone that would listen to me prior to the final, they had to lose at some stage. Sorry, now I'm talking about the Indians, obviously, but now they did have to lose at some stage. And when there's 500 billion people supporting you and in the stadium, from what I could tell, it was obviously a ticketing fiasco, but there were with that many people expecting you to win.
Yeah.
And having done so much.
All right. So you've thrown up that point of they hadn't lost, so they had to lose at some point. I've heard that take a few times this week.
It's not true, though.
Is it, though?
No.
Yes. It depends on how long a vision we're putting on this thing. Yes, they will have to lose at some point. But are we talking like a 500-year span, or are we talking within... like?
You Great know? Question.
I predict, and this is bold, that they would lose within 500 years.
Yes. betting has been suspended on that.
Yeah.
All right, so I suppose I didn't have great confidence. I thought we were the team that could beat them.
Mm.
And if they had taken that catch, if they'd caught Coley in the first game,
yeah, right,
then they would have been 4 for 20.
Yes.
Right? Chasing. And they didn't do it super easy in that game. I mean, we would have had them 4 for 20. And anything happens from there. But so we had proven that we could take wickets in India against India. But I still didn't think we were going to win.
Mm.
No. No, but teams are, I mean, I think Australia won the 2007 World Cup without losing a game. I think they went through that undefeated.
Yeah.
Some ridiculous amount of victories they had in a row.
Oh, it doesn't count for us.
It doesn't count for us.
No, no. No, it doesn't count for us. No.
But I just assume you're playing in India. It's obviously very hard to win in India. We won in Australia. It's hard to beat us in Australia, the MCG on that. But I don't know. You saw, like, as we go saying, with the intensity of support that they have, that, I don't know, they got a bit tight. It's bizarre. Like, probably the most bizarre stat of the final, right, is they hit 4 boundaries in the last 40 overs.
Yes.
That was, well, there was a couple of amazing stats. That one was incredible.
You should never let that happen.
Cummins spell.
Yeah. Do you have a, like, do you have a theory on why that would be?
I think they just got in their heads of, like, we're not scoring any boundaries and now we're forcing it and now everything's just,
right,
you know. We played cricket at varying levels of terribleness, but there's a difference between when you're in form and you're just not even thinking about it, and when you're out of form and everything's just
arduous.
Yeah, it's just like sludge.
So it's the thing, perhaps, of, all right, we're going to go easy for a while.
Yeah,
build a. I was going to say build a relationship, but you know that's kind of off field stuff. Really,
we work with that.
Build a partnership for a while, and then we'll get going. And I suppose maybe there's a real danger if you do that for a while that you're not going to be able to have the, fifth gear to suddenly switch those gears.
And I think we just kept taking wickets. So I think any time they were like, all right, we've consolidated, now we'll, you know, we'll do this one more over and then we'll have a bit of a, oh, no, they got out. Coley got out, you know. And it just seemed to keep happening that they didn't build
a lot
anything.
Of talk.
Mm.
Yeah, a lot of talk about, like, flat track bullies.
Yeah.
When, is it Iyer?
Yeah.
He'd scored runs, but it only come in when they were 3 for 200.
Yeah.
And any time he'd come in when they'd lost 3 early wickets, hadn't scored any runs.
Yeah.
You know, so any time he'd been put under pressure, he'd folded. And then we just bowled. That was the best we had bowled.
Yeah.
By the length of the straight.
Yeah. The interesting thing was why the pitch was prepared the way it was prepared.
Right.
Like, it was slow, but not didn't turn. So that was unusual. Because I would have thought India, if any team, I guess Australia like playing on those flat wickets, but just to have a slow pitch but it's not turning, just, I don't know, it just didn't play into their hands. I mean, it was a great pitch for a final.
Was it perhaps accidental? Like, was it meant to and just the curator got it wrong? Or
I don't know. I mean, it certainly wasn't a flat.
No one's heard from him since
about the 12th right. over, I reckon, of India's innings. So,
like, since Travis Head took that catch.
Yeah.
It was just
went into the Bob Woolmer Memorial Hotel suite. And...
yeah, hanging out with Peter Roebuck.
Bad choice of words. And then,
that's fine. He deserved it.
Absolutely.
We probably won't go over there's the list floating around of all the what you might call dicey things that were done to help favor India a little bit, pitches being one, ticketing being another, just blanket banning a country's fans.
That was outrageous. Imagine
17, I think, was the number. That was the number of Australian jerseys in the crowd. Yeah. 17, they counted.
No, but if you Pakistan,
they just not let any Pakistanis.
No,
in.
Pakistan couldn't get a visa.
Oh, well, there's that. Yeah,
you couldn't get a visa to travel in to watch your own team play. Yeah. They. What was the other one? They released the draw super late, so countries' fans were like, "Well, we don't can't book.
Yeah,
we don't know where they'll be." And that's, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a conspiracy theory that I'm pretty much making up on the spot here, which is that I think it's fair to say, you can correct me if you have a different opinion, but the popularity of one-day cricket's been waning over the last few years.
Yeah.
And, if you're the Indian cricket board with all the power they have and the money-making potential they have, what serves your purposes in terms of keeping people interested in one-day cricket longer?
Right.
Another India bashing or an unlikely come-from-behind victory from a plucky upstart to keep the world going, it is
interesting. One-day cricket.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, we might watch this for another 20 years. I don't know. Unlikely.
Are we a plucky upstart? Are you calling Australia a plucky upstart in this condition?
In India, in the circumstances.
Yeah. I don't know if you can call yourself a plucky upstart with six titles.
Yeah. They were $4.20 a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, true.
I don't think, particularly after the start of the tournament, I don't think.
No.
People would have had high regard for Australia's chances.
No, it's true. Again, like once you get into the semis and you play South Africa, then it's on.
And you've got a Maxwell.
Yeah, you've got a Maxwell. I work with a South African and, halfway through the tournament, I was like, your team's looking really good. And he said, who cares? We're losing the semis. That's like, okay. This is what it must be like to support them. It was like, no matter what's going on, doesn't matter. We don't care. He loves cricket. He was just like, I do not care about how well they're playing.
Right.
We'll lose the semi.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, look, I mean, to be honest, I still hadn't got over the two games beforehand.
Oh, God, yeah.
Winning those before, so I don't even know that I've fully processed the final yet.
No, I agree. I don't think anyone's processed Glenn Maxwell's innings yet. I don't think anyone's really worked out just what the hell was happening.
Yep. Correct.
I've watched a lot of footage.
Yeah.
And I have listened to a lot of podcasts, discussions around it, and it's still how he got up after doing the salmon is beyond me, let alone, we've all cramped up, but I don't think my entire body's ever cramped up at one time, forcing me to lie down doing the salmon.
Bat like the Tin Man, it's so weird. I don't think anything like it. But he came out afterwards and he was like, well, in our practice and training, we just, throw your hands at it. We practice that, not moving your feet and just throwing your hands. I was like, well, that's 100 years of coaching out the window.
What would Buchanan think of that?
He'd have a grasp.
Warnie would have loved it.
Yeah,
Buchanan, auntie. anti-hands. He's always been anti-hands, Buchanan.
Well, speaking of coaches, you know, I suppose this kind of firmly sticks it up Matt Hayden's date after coming out and saying, you know, Aussie system's no good because it hasn't got any former legends in the coaching ranks. Poor old, poor old Andrew McDonald.
Well, Andrew Michael DiVenuto.
Andrew McDonald's a legend.
That's right.
A ringer.
Andrew McDonald.
First ringer like coach.
Yeah.
He's, I think that's why Nathan McAndrew is like coming up through the ranks because he's like, he's the now. He is the now Andrew McDonald.
The now McDonald.
That's right.
Wow. So what do you think if you, let's just do me a favor, pretend you're Matthew Hayden for a minute.
Okay.
I'll give you a sec.
Get a cool. barbecue.
Hang on, I'm just going to turn the barbecue on.
Yeah, that's right.
Put a big pink hat on.
A bit bigger around the shoulders. Go.
What's hitting your bar for someone qualifying as an Aussie legend and therefore allowed to coach?
I'd say.
Well, it's just Justin Langer.
I'd say he's
just
former, Justin Langer. Yeah, his former
just
lover.
Just Justin Langer.
Lover and as you said, the relationship in the middle and off the field.
Yep.
And yeah, just him. I'm guessing that's who it is. Yeah.
Maybe the ghost of Andrew Simons.
Jesus.
Maybe.
Well, hang on. Just he did a great job.
He needs to be the coach. Is that what you? Is that what you suggest? You know what? Matthew Hayden has just suggested that. Wiggins didn't say that.
No.
I asked him to be Matthew Hayden. Yeah. So he might be channeling him.
He's having a barbie. He's having a few Bundys around the barbie. He's probably, you know, he's thinking a few things out loud.
My question to you is that I wouldn't have suspected that this sounds disrespectful. That alive Andrew Simons would have made a good coach, but are you suggesting a trip to the other realm might have imbued him with some skills he didn't have in previously?
Every chance.
In terms of, you know, message delivery and bonding and that sort of stuff.
Well, I think he had the bonding down.
Yeah.
I think it was probably more so the – and again, everything that I've heard about Andrew Simons was that he was a tactical genius. He just liked to go fishing more than he did like to play cricket.
Yeah.
So
I suppose you're the guardian of the rules of making sure that, you know, rules are followed and systems are in place. And he was rules man.
Yeah.
True.
He said,
go fishing instead of training.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right.
Yeah. Sorry. He took that down a road.
Oh, phrasing again, Wigan. That's terrible.
This is an outrageous podcast.
Yeah. No.
Well, I think I've got another theory. That, you know, maybe cosmically speaking, the reason that Australia won is because we have potentially the dullest summer of test cricket coming up that you could possibly imagine.
I mean, that's a good question. I don't even know. Is it Pakistan?
We're playing Pakistan.
And then the Windies are back for the second year in a row for some reason. Yeah.
Well, they had to finish off that test series.
What?
Because it was only, 1.5 tests in total, basically, last time they came out. I'm actually going to 2 days of the Sydney test.
Right.
I'm very much looking forward to seeing the Pakistani quicks.
Yeah, look, I was referring more to the Windies end of that. Pakistan games would be all right, I'd say, but.
Yeah. Yeah, West Indies, I mean, well, it's hard and it's worse watching them play, well, basically the last 20 years or more because of what they used to be.
And yeah, the bar is high.
And they haven't ever got back to near that. That's the weird thing. Every country has their dips but they've just, it's just terrible.
Well, just a couple more things before we go on to maybe longer form. There's a poorly scheduled T20 game on tonight.
I hear that, yes, against India.
Is it tonight or tomorrow?
It's tomorrow night.
That means nothing to the podcast.
Either way.
Yeah. I think they're going to excuse Head from duties.
Yeah.
Because he's still off chops.
Yeah, he's pretty off his face. Yeah, no doubt.
Good on him.
Lots of great photos of him celebrating.
Heaps of finger guns.
Yeah.
So many finger guns.
Headlights of finger guns. Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Speed dealer glasses.
Yeah, there's weird. You've got weird sunnies all over the place. Yep.
So I don't know. I think, you know,
I heard he was doing that salmon at about 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm sure, just laying down.
I think conservative sports fans probably go, oh, he's a bloody professional. He should be fronting up to duty. He don't get to drink for 4 days. But everyone else, like, you know, come on. He won us a World Cup, essentially.
Mm. Yeah.
A World Cup, some might say, including myself, I think, we weren't really, like, I'm not saying we shouldn't have won, but we weren't really in the frame as much as we probably.
Basically until the end of India's 50 overs.
Yeah.
Mm.
In the final, we weren't really in the frame.
So I reckon if you've won a World Cup, you can miss as many pointless T20s as you like. You could probably just drink his way through that Pakistan series, really, if you wanted to.
Is it another dry state, though?
No, they're coming here, brother.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Is South Australia a dry state? Unlikely.
Unlikely. West End lager.
Very. Oh, well, lager. It's a few wines around.
It's a second.
Get it in and around you. Now, just around the point of one-day cricket not being as exciting for the public, if you will.
Do you agree with that? I just threw it out there as my take before, but do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very predictable.
Like one day.
Nearly every game follows the same sort of pattern. You know, like the teams go out and have a bash and then they just knock
consolidate.
The six and over and then have another bash and that's the same pretty much every game. That's why the final was so interesting. I don't think I've watched a game that, you know, held like the sort of intrigue of cricket, what it can be throughout the whole game. Even the Australian innings, the first 15 overs were pretty dicey. It was hard batting out there.
Yeah.
And then there was this one partnership. But it was, it's usually just the same. Like we go, you came down, remember when the World Cup was in Australia, you came to Canberra and we watched South Africa play Ireland, I want to say.
Yep.
And South Africa got 400 and it was fairly dull. They didn't flog it. They just, you know, knocked it around and
tabbed it around.
It's in a bit of no man's land, really.
Yeah.
The 50 over game.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the issue is that it's.
Because it doesn't have the kind of uniqueness and tradition of test, nor the flair and colour and exuberance of T20. So.
So is that due to. And some of the best one day games have always been on a pitch with a bit of juice in it.
Yeah.
Oh, so pitches, you reckon?
Well, I think it's definitely going to – it plays a part. It plays a massive part because if there's something in it and you can't just – if you hang around, you're going to get out, right? So you've got to be – got to have intent, right? That's what it's all about. There has to be some intent in the game to make it something.
Conspiracy Buckland coming in, though.
Oh, conspiracy.
Thinking that, you know, there's – obviously, they need to make sure that the wicket's tame enough so that fans feel they get value for money in terms of length of cricket they've been able to watch when they come.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, they're not going to come next time. If they, you know, if you have a team all out after 10 overs because it's pinging around everywhere.
Hooping around.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, you know. Because he lives and all, people aren't going to feel like spend all that money on the tickets. Only saw, you know, an hour of cricket.
Yeah. I just think it's a long day for the same. You know, it's the same sort of product.
Yes.
T20 is over and test, whilst, you know, people complain about its length and how boring it is, but if you really like it, it's never, very rarely...
boring.
Yeah, it's very rarely boring. It's always, there's always intrigue, I guess. Intrigue's the word. The world, the final had intrigue and tests have intrigue and 2020 doesn't need intrigue. That's not what it's about.
It's not long enough to have any intrigue. By the time any intrigue's been built up, they're already presenting the Man of the Match award.
That's right.
I just feel, especially, and I'm going to say this, especially after Australia won it, we can draw a line under it now. Like, it served its purpose for its time. It revolutionized cricket in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, things don't have to last forever.
I get nostalgic for good one-day cricket games, though. Because there's been, because we've been involved in, like, I don't remember any 2020 games.
No.
Right.
But, and I remember a multitude of test matches.
The one where Aaron Finch hit a six and it got stuck in the roof.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty much what I remember.
Yep.
2020.
Well, I remember David Warner's first innings.
I
remember Mardo going berserk.
Brett Lee's over for the sixes, that last over against the Scorchers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Mitchell Marsh in the final of the T20 World Cup. And
there we
are. That's about it.
We remembered about half a dozen things from the thousands of games that have been played.
Yeah.
Yeah. But none of them are like, you know, like when have we ever spoken about those things other than right now?
No.
Whereas there have been some 50 over games that are in folklore because of, again, the intrigue and what happened because it was 100 overs. Because it was allowed to have time to actually, for those ebbs and flows throughout the game. When weird shit happens over a full day's play of cricket.
No, yeah. I get what you're saying. I don't know, like, there's got, maybe it just needs someone to come up with a new element to it that's not a complication of some sort, that's just something a bit different and unique, because at the moment it's not, it's just in the middle of the two unique things that we do like.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's been that way for a while, for not just recently. I think it's been like that for 15 years, maybe more. T20 came along and everyone was like, oh, one day cricket's long. Goes for too long. Doesn't have to.
Yes. All right. Well, I did promise you a short podcast, but I did want to ask you one more thing. Beautiful, lovely, sexy captain. The blue-eyed Paddy Cummins.
Yeah.
He's a beautiful man.
I've always been in love with Paddy Cummins.
He's Paddy.
Cummo.
You know, there have been some criticisms this year, particularly from certain elements of the media, about he's too woke.
Too woke.
Old wokey cum dog is gonna. He's not got what it takes to be a captain. You can't be Aussie captain and, you know.
And be a cum dog.
Care about the environment and people's feelings and shit.
Yeah.
You know, too woke. He's not going to work.
He's against coal mines, yet he drives a car. That was an argument they made. That was pretty good. That was a good argument.
What happened to the tree that made you bat? What happened to that? But, you know. Okay, so we've retained some ashes. We've won a World Test Championship. Won a World Cup. So where do you think that places old Mr. Cummins in terms of woke v success?
Well,
the graph is...
I'll never have a bad word. The graph is on his side, I would imagine.
Absolutely. The graph is definitely pro Cummins.
Mm.
But also what I would like to say about Pat Cummins is that he's in the side as captain and as an opening slash first change bowler.
Mm.
And leading into the Ashes on his basically prior to leaving to go and play in the World Test Championships, there was a cloud over Pat as a batsman and his his form as a batsman was poor, one might say.
Mm.
Like he hadn't really got a lot of runs in the lower order leading up to that point. But if you were to look at his record since the World Test Championship, he got us home in the second test. Was it the second test or first test in England? No, first test.
Mm.
Was it first? First test, yeah.
I would feel safer with Paddy Cummins coming in than Alex Carey.
Right.
To be perfectly honest with you.
Right.
Paddy Cummins isn't going to play a stupid reverse sweep shot that's not on.
Yeah.
When you need to hold wickets.
That's true.
You know.
It felt like he was just going to nick him. That's what he was going to do up until he left for England.
Yeah.
So I just feel like his value as a number eight or nine now is, in the last 12 months, has been incredible.
Yeah.
Like 12 off 170 balls in the Afghanistan game. One of the best innings, one of the best support innings ever.
Like, they're going to be talking about that on Talkback Radio?
It's too woke. He wouldn't score any runs. He didn't want to offend anyone by scoring runs.
That the wokest innings that we've seen?
It was the wokest 12 not out you've ever seen.
He followed said, by the wokest. Yep. Gary, followed by the wokest bowling by a fast bowler in the World Cup.
Yeah.
That did not concede a boundary.
Look,
refused. Concede a boundary.
That is
stubborn,
legitimately
stubborn,
incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I suppose if they hit too many boundaries, that would be more balls that were needed because the ball would go out of shape. That's more cows killed to make the leather.
That's right.
Yeah.
Look, I think the thing that satisfies me the most is how pissed off Matthew Hayden must be.
It's funny how all the ex-cricketers, how quickly they just turn into dickheads, like putting their 2 cents in everything.
The My Day v Today.
Yeah.
You know, test captains these days kind of things. Yeah. Anyway. Look, there you go. That was
my favorite quote from the World Cup final aftermath is the ex-Indian cricketer that said, "There's no way Australia should have won. India were the best team on paper." And we've now played against two sides.
I don't know what is going
in
on
a row.
This year. Yeah.
It's Joe Root. That's almost like Joe Root's man for man. I'd rather have play with the English team.
That's right. And moral
That's
victory.
That's why we don't want you.
Moral victory. We didn't win the test, but we won a moral victory. We just keep losing in the imaginary stakes. We keep winning the physical games, but we're not winning. Maybe that's
we're not winning the imagination of the people. That's why.
Well, look, we'll leave it there for this episode of Wind and the Willows. We'll pop up again soon, but just as we go out, I'll ask you one final question before we disappear. What's more satisfying, Australia's performance and victory in the World Cup or England's performance in the World Cup?
What an excellent question. I think it was just nice to the English performance in the World Cup ended and then we could appreciate Australia being in the semis. Because it was at one point England were at the bottom of the table and just delightful.
It was very polite of them to work it out that way. So we could enjoy them being the way they were, and then we could enjoy us. All right. Thank you, gents.
Okay. Pleasure.
This is an Angry Chimp podcast.